What does sex, magic, and the shamanic world have to do with quantum physics? Well, that was the question I asked myself. And that's what we're going to be talking about in session 6. The story you're about to hear is really a very personal story. It's my story. It's what happened to me. You see, it's how I learned about shamans and what they did. And it also was my beginning of my search into the relationship of physics, particularly quantum physics, to the world of human experience and psychology and, if you will, to the whole universal view we presently have. To tell this story, I spent several years visiting shamans and shamanic researchers in several places in the world. I went to Great Britain. I spent time in Switzerland. Yes, Switzerland. There are shamans there too. Throughout the United States, Brazil, Peru, and Mexico. I also went through initiatory and ceremonial experiences. These experiences were led by New World shamans, consisting of Native Americans, Indians in North America, and especially in the Amazon jungles of Peru. In my earlier experiences in the shamanic world, I also spent much time in India, Nepal, Europe, and Great Britain. And in Great Britain, in fact, I met shamans that were practicing the old pagan ways. They called it the Way of Weird, W-Y-R-D. Now, the background for this story, in fact, the most eventful things that occurred to me were things that took place in Peru, because it was there that I met three or four, probably even more, shamans who were what are called ayahuasca shamans. These are shamans that use ayahuasca in their ceremonies in order to induce a change of consciousness. This ayahuasca, which is called the vision vine, is a substance that grows in the high and mid-Amazon jungle regions of Peru and other parts of South America. And it's used by Peruvian shamans often as a purgative. In other words, it's the equivalent of what the Catholics call purgatory. It purges you of not only the insides of your stomach, but it also purges you of ideas and concepts that are holding you back from realizing your true human nature. My experiences with these ayahuasca shamans was very, very powerful, and it gave me new hope and new insights into unlocking the secrets of the unconscious mind and bringing these secrets to the light. And it also gave me some insights into how psychology and quantum physics can actually overlap. It also gave me new hope for the eventual curing of a number of pandemic illnesses, including drug addiction problems and psychological illnesses in the Western world. Okay, so that's just a brief introduction, and I'm going to take you into the story right away. Just want to give you some idea as to what the word shaman means. Most of us have been exposed to shamans, although not exactly the way that I would like you to be exposed to them. If you think about any of the movies you've seen where they're ooga booga guys, you know, these are guys from primitive villages. I'm thinking of the movie, for example, King Kong. And there you remember when the guys get off the ship and they go into this native surroundings and there's the shaman there who's telling him that we got this big guy, and you see these huge gates and King Kong, this huge gorilla, comes through the gates. The guy who's leading the ceremonies, that's a shaman. Well, that's what I would call the Hollywood version of a shaman. That is really what shamans look like when you meet them. The word shaman actually comes from the Ural Mountains in Russia, and it applies to people who acted in non-ordinary capacities in their tribal situations. What they would often do, in fact, is go into trance states, go into this purgatory world, this nether world, this underworld, if you will, talk with spirits, and come back out with solutions to the problems that were plaguing the tribe at that time. And so all shamans were also taught by shamans. And the one thing I want you to know about shamans, although some may disagree with this, all shamans are born, they're not made. You may want to be a shaman, and you probably could be a fairly decent one, but if it isn't in you from the start, if you haven't gone through what is called in very early youth initiatory experience, it's more likely you're not going to be a very good shaman or not even a shaman at all. These shamans seem to have gone through terrible traumas in their earlier stages of life, and it's because of those traumas that they've gone through that they're actually able to withhold and withstand the visions that come from going into these other realms of existence. All shamans have healing power, although there are different kinds. In the Spanish language, we speak about two kinds of shamans. One kind is called a brujo or a bruja. The bruja is a feminine. The brujo is the masculine form, and it means a kind of a magician, somebody who goes into the dark regions of magic and does kind of the dark magic. We'll touch on the dark regions from time to time, but mostly they're interested in healing and working spells that will help you adjust to and transform as a result of some illness you're trying to get through. Whereas the brujos and the brujas, they're more interested in, I don't like that guy. He did me a dirty. And they're the guys you go to who then cast the dirty spells to make the other guy feel bad. So that's what they do. And sometimes when you get caught by the dark force, as the movies used to tell us, it's very hard to get out of it because it's very powerful when you can induce harm to somebody else. And there's this third kind, which are the kinds of shamans which are the curanderos. These are the ones that only work with light. They're only interested in using the vines and the medicines to cure you, to get you through. They're not interested in the dark side at all. And they're not, in a sense, really shamans, because shamans, you have to kind of dance the line between the dark and the light in order to do their magic. So this is the story. And the story, as I said, is kind of a, you might call it an intuitive physicist quest. To imagine this, you've got to imagine me in the 1980s. I'm a kind of a nudnik physicist. It's kind of like Woody Allen meets King Kong. I mean, it's the kind of vision I have of myself going into this jungle region. I wanted to know how shamans did what they did. So whatever it was, that's what I wanted to know. So what I remember, I was living in Mexico at the time. I just finished writing my book, Parallel Universes, and I was thinking about my next book. And the thought occurred to me, possibly in discussion with my wife at the time, that maybe I should do a book called Shamanic Physics. The idea seemed almost ludicrous to me. Shamanic physics, what the heck could that mean? But it was ringing in my head. And when I then left Mexico after finishing writing the book and traveled back into the United States and gave a talk in Dallas, Texas to a group of people, at the time there were some book publishing people there. And I was talking to some of them. They were asking me about what my next book was going to be. And I said, Shamanic Physics. Well, they wet their pants. They got so excited. They didn't know what to do. Oh, that's it. Oh, boy, that's great. Can we get it? Can we do it? I mean, I never saw such excitement. I thought, what the heck's going on here? Why are these people so excited? So they weren't my publishers. So I went to my publisher and said the same thing to them. I'm going to do a book on shamanic physics. And they all go, oh, well, that's it. You got to do it. And I mean, it was the only time I've ever submitted a book proposal that was much, much shorter than I usually write, much, much less detailed. I usually write a very detailed proposal. And these publishers went nuts. And they gave me more money to do shamanic physics than I did any other book. Well, the shamanic physics book eventually emerged as The Eagle's Quest. And there are many reasons why that particular story unfolds. But let me tell you more about these jungle experiences.